You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We have reached the single digits. 9 days and counting until the 2018 NBA draft. Can you feel it? Can you feel that excitement boiling up? I sure can. Hello, welcome to the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHTK. I am an on-air talent and multimedia journalist. That is the flagship radio station, by the way, of your Sacramento Kings. And if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan, you are absolutely in the right place. If you are new, welcome. Join the hype train. Get ready to party because here comes the NBA draft and it's coming quickly. I hope if you live in Sacramento, you will do what I am doing and head to the Golden One Center that afternoon, the afternoon of the draft, which is next Thursday. The Sacramento Kings are going to be putting on a massive draft party inside the Golden One Center. I hope to see you all out there. And if you are there and you want to say hello, I can't wait to meet you at Matt George KHDK on Twitter. Tweet me there. Let me know where you're going to be or where you're at. I will try and make my way around and introduce myself and meet each and every single one of you. I'm so appreciative of the fact that you listen to this podcast. You listen to me, you listen to Charles, and if you want to be able to meet me and have a conversation with me in person, if you want to yell at me for some of my terrible sports takes, you can absolutely do that there at that party. I'll be in a good mood anyway, because hopefully that is going to be the day that we point to as the day that things really changed for this Sacramento Kings franchise. Another step towards breaking this playoff drought and getting this team back into the promised land. Yes, again, my name is Matt George. For those of you that are new, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt George KHTK. Yesterday, Marvin Bagley III came to Sacramento for an individual workout. We didn't get the chance to talk about that at all yesterday because we were talking with Leo Biez from Cowbell Kingdom about Luka Doncic. Well, today I have a conversation that I recorded yesterday with Sean Cunningham from ABC 10. If you don't know Sean, if you don't follow Sean on social media and you call yourself a Kings fan, you need to. Sean Cunningham gets exclusive interviews that you can't get anywhere else, has been covering this team for a long, long time, has worked in a multitude of different positions at a multitude of different places currently with ABC 10, and he's really the backbone of ABC 10 Sports. You can check out his work on abc10.com or just follow him on social media for great information and great insight on the Kings, even the San Francisco Giants. He does everything that's great in this Northern California market. Even went over to talk and watch those scummy Warriors play just down the freeway a little bit for the NBA playoffs. I guess the NBA champions or anything. Who cares about that? We don't care about that. The NBA finals are over. The draft is coming. And I had a phenomenal conversation with him. Again, this was recorded yesterday. This was after Marvin Bagley's workout. And he got to talk with Bagley and watch that workout at least the last 15, 20 minutes or so. And I wanted to talk to him and get his perspective on it because he's such a good basketball mind. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Sean Cunningham from yesterday at the Kings practice facility after Marvin Bagley's workout. Joined by ABC's Sean Cunningham. You can check out all his work at ABC 10, all the great stuff that he does, especially when it is involving the Sacramento Kings. Gives you all sorts of good looks and insight into behind the scenes what's going on with the Sacramento Kings franchise. And that includes the NBA draft workouts that have been going down today, Monday. The Sacramento Kings had Marvin Bagley III in for a workout. Really the first major name that we've heard come to Sacramento for a private workout. Sean was able to go to capture some of it, to take pictures and then be able to talk to Bagley afterwards. So Sean, first off, thank you so much for joining me. And second, immediate first impressions from seeing Bagley in person, seeing his work ethic and getting to talk to him a little bit. What are your first impressions of this kid?
Yeah, well, Matt, thanks for having me. It's kind of good to talk Kings again after so much of this playoffs and a lot of the focus has been on Warriors. So it's good to segue back to the Kings. But yeah, today was fun. You know, they've had a number of these workouts here in Sacramento. Majority of them, well, if not all of them, have been with guys that are maybe projected to go in the second round, if at all, in the draft. So guys that they might be looking at from a training camp, a summer league, or even a G League roster. So today was really a good opportunity to take a look at one of the top prospects in the draft. And you knew it was a special day when you walked in because the media coverage, the amount of media that was there to kind of cover today was about as much as I can remember. I mean, I can tell you this with no doubt in my mind that it was more people to cover this workout then showed up at the draft last year when the Kings had, what was it, the fifth pick?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. You get in there, and look, we're given a glimpse. And here at ABC 10, the cool thing is we're able to, you know, it's all video. So hopefully we are able to bring that to the audience, what we see, you see, because it's all done through the camera. And, we were given about a 15-minute window to kind of see the tail end of what it was, an individual workout. And I think there's some people who might go, well, why was it individual? Why isn't he going up against the likes of DeAndre Ayton or Jaren Jackson or other bigs in this draft? And for the simple fact that usually guys are in the top 10 these days, they don't do group workouts because they can only really hurt themselves. So it was an individual workout. He's going, getting some instruction from the likes of Phil Ritchie, who's a Kings development coach, former Galt High School product and a summer league player and training camp invite from back in the day of the Chris Webber Kings. And then, of course, Big Bob Thornton, the Kings assistant coach. He's the big man coach. And that was what we really saw. He started off with some perimeter shooting. And then as we entered the gym, and then it was all a lot of low post work and free throw work. And Dave Yeager was on the floor observing everything. You've got the whole Kings brass along the side. Everyone from Vlade Divac to even Vivek Ranadive, and just taking a look at this kid, and there were a lot of happy faces on the face, a lot of smiles on the faces of some of these people taking in the workout.
So in these 15 minutes that you saw at the end, did you feel like it was more of a showing off the talents that Bagley has and showing off his strengths, or did you see things maybe targeting some of his weaknesses, potentially his outside shooting or his defensive ability?
No, I don't think anything from a defense. Look, I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to many people. I'm a big Duke fan, and I can tell you right now some of the weaknesses that Marvin Bagley would show throughout a season has been on the defensive side. His outside shooting is actually pretty good. It was a 40% 3-point shooter. He didn't get to really showcase much of that at Duke because of just the program that Duke runs, and he's obviously got better shooters around him. But in the NBA, he's very confident that his outside shooting will become something that people will take more notice of. But along the lines of at least what some of his weaknesses are is definitely on the defensive end. And he's definitely not going to be able to show that because obviously he's not guarding anybody. But at the same time, I would say what people really need to keep in mind with individual workouts is they're about 95% awful. And what I mean by that is it's really just glorified window dressing. Mm-hmm. It's really an opportunity for guys to get their hands on them, see what these guys are about. And really, when at the end of the day, when they're walking away from a workout, they want to basically have something that solidifies ideas, any criticisms, any compliments, anything, any feedback that they had in their own mind, it's a way for them to address. So in essence, it's an audition, it's a workout, but it's really for them to get their hands on you, sit down with you, see what you're all about. And as people have told me over the years, I mean, I've done this since 2002, and one of the things they want to see is what kind of guy are you? What kind of character do you have? And let's not forget, do you love basketball? Because there is guys where basketball is a job, and I think so much so they want to find the guys that eat, sleep, and drink ball. I mean, this is all they want is guys that are passionate about basketball. And then, oh yeah, you've got the intangibles that leap off a stat page and fill up all the analytics and all the stats and all the numbers. There's all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they've researched these guys so much. Marvin Bagley is one of the most heralded guys in the country, one of the top basketball players in the country from a high school standpoint, who goes to really an NBA university in Duke University. And there's not much that's not that. I mean, there isn't that much that isn't known about Marvin Bagley, that's for sure.
Well, I know you follow Duke closely, so we take that with a grain of salt a little bit. But many are talking about Bagley as he managed to succeed, or a lot of his success came from playing alongside a guy like Wendell Carter. So there are concerns with bringing Bagley in. Not that there's not good talent on the Sacramento Kings roster already, but Bagley coming in, is he looked to as one of the go-to guys, and can he excel there, or does he need to wait a little bit for a guy like De'Aaron Fox or a Bogdan Bogdanovic or Buddy Hield to develop into that lead scorer a little bit more? Do you have any thoughts or approach to those thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's going to take an adjustment for anyone. I mean, this kid's, 19 years old?
Yeah.
Certainly coming in, the things that leap off the page, I mean, great scorer, phenomenal rebounder. And I think some of the things that people really enjoy about him is that the fact that this kid is super competitive. That's just something that those are the things that leap off the page. As it fits in with the Kings, clearly the Kings have a need for a wing scorer. Clearly the Kings have a need for a guy that can just score in general.
Yes.
And obviously they've got a lot of bigs. I mean, you factor in, Vlade Divac and that front office have their work cut out for them, because even if whether they draft a Marvin Bagley or not, or go to someone like a Luka Doncic or even a Michael Porter Jr., if they don't go with a big, they still have a lot of bigs currently on the roster. So they're going to have to get pretty creative one way or the other. And for people who don't know, obviously someone like Kostas Koufos and who's opted in for the next year, and even Zach Randolph, both these guys are approaching their final year with the Kings. It'll remains to be seen what happens after next year. But then you add on Willie Cauley-Stein and Scalabissiere, and oh yeah, you've also got Harry Giles, who they're going to finally unbottle that potential here in summer league. So you've got a number of bigs on the floor. But I think there's a couple things that are interesting about Harry Giles as it pertains to the Kings. One, you really have a scoring big, which you don't really have at the moment. Clearly, I mean, Zach Randolph is your easiest bucket on the team, but he's also 36 going on 37, and he's in the waning years of his career, so that's not really into the future. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein is approaching the final year of his rookie deal. You're going to have to make a decision there. So some of the things that I think is really interesting with Bagley is the fact that, look, you've got a guy who is your just in case. I mean, he's a guy who is going in the top. You would take number two overall. And as it pertains to Giles, if Giles doesn't work out, and there's clearly some red flags there with becoming injury, and obviously there's a lot of development, Bagley might be a little farther along than what Harry Giles is. So this is kind of your insurance in the event that Giles doesn't work out. And then, of course, if it does work out and you've got someone like Willie, and you have Giles, and now you've got Bagley, that's a nice three rotation where the three of those guys going forward is a nice, it's a nice problem to have. You've got probably two centers and a power forward, and you just kind of let the minutes go and see who rises to the top.
Sean, I'm glad you brought up the offensive game that Bagley has, because maybe out of all of the major prospects, it seems like Bagley is the most pointed to as someone that is ready to come in and be effective offensively almost right away, which is pretty exciting for his age, being only, like you said, 19 years old. A lot of people, though, would counter with his defensive concerns, and I want to get your take on his defensive concerns first. But before that, my approach to this is, look, this is a scoring league, the NBA. You need to score a lot of points to succeed. Defense is important, but not nearly the foundation like it was 10 years ago or even less than that. When you're a team like the Kings that was last in the league in offense, and you're drafting someone that is going to help you in that category, if they have defensive concerns, to me, that's a minute point. That's something that I'm putting on the back burner, because ultimately I need to solve my scoring problem first before I worry about the defensive woes. So I'm curious your thoughts on my take and my perspective there, and then overall your thoughts watching him very closely. Is he really that big of a defensive concern as people are painting him out to be?
Well, I think you're onto something there in terms of defense. Look, individual defense, he's not great. And I think you're right there that the scoring and the rebounding, especially on the offensive end, his offensive rebounding is phenomenal. I think that outweighs a lot of the concerns that he has defensively. But I think much like, you look at guys that are also kind of being projected in that range, and obviously they play different positions, but even someone like Luka Doncic, I mean, Luka's not a phenomenal defender either, especially a one-on-one defender. He gets lost. I mean, and I think what Luka and even Bagley to a degree, and even really NBA players who struggle defensively, and you work with a guy in Doug Christie that was a phenomenal on-ball defender, individual defender, and he can tell you that even bad defenders can become great help defenders and team defenders.
Yes.
Getting in passing lanes. And I use DeMarcus Cousins as an example of that, because DeMarcus was not a good defender at all, but he really did a phenomenal job of getting in passing lanes, drawing offensive fouls. He learned the NBA game. And I think certainly when you look at someone like Bagley and even Doncic to that degree, their length is what is really impressive. And I think stuff like when you have intangibles like that, plus you add athletic ability on top of that, we were a group of us were talking today about when you think of NBA athletes, and yeah, they're all phenomenal athletes, but what really makes a great NBA athlete is their lateral quickness, their ability to move lateral. And that corresponds to the defensive side of the ball so much. And I feel like I'm with you, Matt, like if you're, especially when you're looking at the Kings, and I don't care, look, you're a terrible team right now. You've got a lot of young players, but the one thing that leaps off the page is you really need a scorer. Who's your most elite scorer on your team? Is it Buddy Hield? I mean, that's not good if it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the same ilk where I feel like, look, you can't afford to not take the best player available. You have to take the best player available. Now, how do you define best player available? Is it addressing your need where, hey, the Kings really need a really big scorer or someone who can score bulk? Or do you need to go with a guy who has potential that could be through the roof but may not be there quite yet? That's tough. I think each team might define that differently. Sometimes the best player isn't always the one that is the most NBA ready. And I think you just look at Vlade Divac's track record, and you look at a guy when he looked at George Papagiannis, which was, you know, he saw unlimited potential, and he drafted him when he had one of arguably the best big man in the NBA. So he thought he would give him time to really harness that potential. Clearly, Papagiannis wasn't the best NBA player available at that time.
Right. So, in terms of Bagley, let's assume that the Kings take him. What do you like about him, or where can you see him fitting in immediately with this team? Are there any names that are on this roster that you can see, yep, he's an immediate fit with this guy, or he'll play great alongside this guy? Can you see him being a potentially perfect fit with the Kings right away?
Yeah, there's one guy. I mean, the fact that they have De'Aaron Fox, that if I'm a Kings fan, that gets me really excited. Now, I think a lot of people are looking at it and go, oh, what's that mean for Harry? Well, to me, I think you put Harry a little bit of a caveat. Like, you don't really know what you can expect from Harry Giles. As much as they might rave about what he does in practice, and I've raved about him since high school and seeing what he's been able to do, it's going to take a minute for Harry to get there. I think Marvin Bagley is probably quite a bit ahead of Harry at that point, because he's had regular competition.
Yeah.
He's had game days. Harry Giles' practice days are his game days. So, but if all goes to plan, something like that could be a nice two-headed monster for something like Sacramento. I still think no matter what they do in the draft, even if whether they go Bagley or even if they take Porter, Doncic, who's a, you know, kind of a point forward, but isn't really a scorer, they still need to address that scoring. So I think the person that he really plays well with would be someone like De'Aaron Fox and even Bogdan Bogdanovic, because of the fact that he's such a playmaker. I think them finding him in the post and how creative he is down there. And, oh, by the way, his ability to rebound. I think that's, to me, he's just the more sexy pick right there. And if anyone knows me, I mean, I've looked at Marvin Bagley and you know, I might waver here and there, but the guy that's most consistent that I've said, as I just said, I think Marvin Bagley is the can't miss guy. I think he's the safest pick. And no matter what I do, when I look at these guys, I just look at what's this guy do really well? What does any of these guys do really well? And I can check more boxes of Marvin Bagley and what he does really well compared to other people that might be available at number two.
There was a picture that came out today that was a shot of Marvin Bagley, it looked like after the workout, interacting and talking with Peja Stojakovic and Vlade Divac. And depending upon where this picture was taken, the angle of which it was taken, it caused a lot of, maybe not a lot, but it's caused a certain amount of speculation as to the true height of Bagley. You got to see him in person, but in the picture, he appears significantly shorter and skinnier than Vlade, and almost eye-to-eye, if not maybe a bit shorter than Peja Stojakovic. Was that an angle that didn't do him very much justice? Is his height exaggerated at about the 6'10", 6'11 range?
No, I think he's more of a 6'10". I mean, Peja's 6'10". He's definitely not Vlade. He's not a 7-footer, and he's not going to have the bulk that Vlade even has these days. I mean, Marvin Bagley's in incredible shape, so yeah, he's definitely not a 7-footer. Harry Giles hasn't beaten height. I mean, that's just is what it is. If you were looking at the two of them and even Willie Cauley-Stein, the centers would be Giles and Cauley-Stein, and Marvin Bagley would probably be the power forward. But yeah, I did see them speaking. I'll have to go back and look at the video. I posted a picture of of Bagley kind of showing his jersey, showing Sacramento, kind of popping the jersey a little bit. And I know that got a little bit of attention, but
right.
Yeah, I need to go back and look at it. I mean, no, the guy to me looks every bit of the 6'10 that he's listed. I don't see him as 6'11 and I don't see him higher than that. But yeah, 6'10, that's I think that's about accurate. I mean, this is a guy who didn't go to didn't really go to the combine, just visited with teams. And so you don't really have those true measurements. But, yeah, I mean, he looks every bit of 6'10". Peja is definitely 6'10". Chris Weber, 6'10". Vlade being a 7-footer, I would definitely see a difference there.
Sean, last thing for you. One of my favorite things about this draft so far is that nobody really knows what the Sacramento Kings are going to do. And, you know, that seems to be a pretty big power position to where, assuming that the Suns go with what everybody expects them to do and take 8 and number 1 overall, really the Kings have the power to shake up the remainder of at least picks 2 through 6 or 7 or 8 for all the other teams, depending upon what they do. That could cause panic amongst other teams who may want to try and move down and may offer the Kings a steal that they can't refuse. But I really appreciate that versus our old front office led by Pete D'Alessandro when Vivek first took over, where it was basically a leaky dam where you'd learn new information every single day or every single week. It seems like things are so in the dark and nobody really knows what the Kings are going to do, which is absolutely a power position. If I were to ask you what your inkling is or what your feeling is of what direction the Kings are going to go on draft day, would you be able to give me an answer?
Well, I think that I feel pretty strongly that if they've got the number 2 pick, they're going Bagley. I don't know that to be certain. That's just based off conversations that I've had. I hear more positive feedback and what I hear from the front office. I mean, but I think certainly fans know that it's a 2-man game at number 2 between Bagley and Doncic. And clearly there's fans of both in the front office and throughout the organization. But the one I hear the most positive remarks and most people being blown away by in comparison to the both of them would be Bagley. Now, maybe they know that me being a Duke fan, that they're talking to the right guy.
Right.
So maybe they're feeding the ego a little bit. But beside all of that garbage, what happens is so often is, and things can change between now and then, I really start paying attention more so now that we're 10 days from the draft, because opinions change so often. And think of it, Matt, this way. You've got pro days and they've seen all these guys. They're seeing Porter for a second time coming up later this week in Chicago. There's a lot that can change between now and then. Luckily they've seen Doncic enough. They've really had him over the past 2 weeks. They've seen him twice. You've got Bagley that they saw back on May 24th and now you've got him in town. That's certainly a positive. But that's really probably the only lottery pick that's going to come to Sacramento. The majority of them are opting to stay away, and that's fine. That's how the NBA works these days. A lot of these teams have to go to the higher prospects. I would say that, yeah, at number 2, you're looking at a 2-man race. I don't think it's necessarily Porter that high. But, I mean, as you've seen today, there's so many reports of teams looking to get more aggressive and try to move up. And guess what? Number 2 is quite attractive to a lot of teams, no matter how things play out, whether they draft who they want, Doncic or Bagley, and stay there, or if they look to move it. And I think we're going to start to see a lot of rumors and a lot of wins circulating through that number 2 pick and whether or not the Kings want to keep it or move down and draft someone else. They've been scouting this whole thing, and they like people later in the draft too. Guys like Wendell Carter, Colin Sexton, and oh yeah, Michael Porter. I think they're really going to come to a pretty big decision on Porter in the coming days if they already haven't. And that kind of remains to be seen. But you're right. I think number 2 really kind of where they're situated is a fun time. But in the defense of Pete D'Alessandro, I will say Kings were picking a little bit in different locations than what they have been over the past 2 years with Vlade Divac and with the 5 and of course the number 2 this year. But when you're that high up, which Pete D'Alessandro didn't have the luxury of doing, the list is narrowed dramatically.
Right.
And if you even go from 5 to 7, and I know we're only talking like 2 slots, It changes a lot. I mean, the options are even that much more magnified because, you know, because you don't know what happens and you don't know what trickles to you. And if someone trickles to you, do you feel the need to draft them because it's a can't miss guy or why did this guy fall? So I think it's harder to draft lower than it is to draft in the top five. But that being said, when you draft in the top five, you can't miss. And if you do miss, that's your job.
Yeah.
You cannot miss. So Vlade's got a lot of pressure on him, which is one of the reasons why I feel he'll go with Marvin Bagley. But I'd be interested to see what you – I mean, who's your gut tell you? I mean, shoot, you're around this team too, and I'd love to hear what you're thinking.
It changes like the wind. I've listened and understood arguments from all of them, and all of them seem to make a lot of sense. I have always been a fan of Luka Doncic, just the idea of what he can bring right away. So I would probably be leaning in that direction more. You've actually swayed me a little bit on Bagley because I was – kind of off that fence after being very much on it maybe a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, just based off of what he can provide offensively right out of the gate. And then I'm starting to like the idea of Michael Porter Jr. a little bit more based off of the high endorsements that he's been getting out of the Doug Christie camp, which is around me a lot. So honestly, the reality is with any of those three guys, I'm excited, and I think the Kings are in a great place. I would not be surprised at all to see the Kings end up moving down in the draft that they want to take Michael Porter Jr. and trying to get either a bad contract and another young asset or proven commodity right away, or if they want to say, we're not going to make it cute, we're going to just try and take the guy we love right now. But I agree with you completely on you need to take the best player available, and getting a first-hand look and a one-on-one look with Bagley here in Sacramento has to be an advantage for him if the Kings decide to go in that direction. I would go as far as to say if the Kings made the decision to go with Bagley, it was probably because of something they saw and from their interaction with him today.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing I'll add, and I'm sure a lot of fans already know this too, and this, again, you might file this under window dressing. It really ultimately doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot. But I do think there is something special and something a little bit invaluable to having a familiarity with guys. For example, you've got two young players who are now going into their second year, and really in Harry Giles going into his first full year as an NBA player to be actually getting on the court. But De'Aaron Fox and Giles both meeting with Bagley last night, overnight, being able to hang out with him and have a little bit of that camaraderie. This is a guy they've been through AAU circuits with, and they know him. They're familiar with him. There's nothing – they're a year apart. There's nothing that's really not all that known about their games. I mean, they're very much familiar with them. And that really – that's in a large sense, that's invaluable. But then at some time, it's also kind of window dressing. It doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. But it is nice to have that familiarity and have some of that chemistry because, look, that's the one thing – and it's funny. We've talked about Pete D'Alessandro. He's right in one sense, and Bob Myers echoed this just this past couple, 2 weeks ago at NBA Finals Media Day, which is there's no analytic for chemistry.
Yes.
And you never know. I mean, I always say, look, if the Kings had drafted Steph Curry or Kawhi Leonard or Klay Thompson, not to, you know, put salt in open wounds, there's no guarantee that they become the player you know them currently as. Guys are products of their environment more than anything. I've seen tremendous players go to one team, not work out, go to another, and obviously and flourish. And there's no analytic for chemistry. There's no way you can match that. And I think familiarity certainly is a good thing. When you have guys that get along and that trickles over to the basketball floor, that's invaluable. So that doesn't necessarily mean that someone like Luka or Michael Porter can come into Sacramento and not have it work. But certainly it's another box that you check that's a positive mark. You have guys that are familiar. You have guys that like one another and are hanging out with one another. It's just one of those things, one of those boxes you check. And certainly when you go to make decisions, I think that's something that strikes as a positive.
Well, one thing we know for sure is that Vlade and the Sacramento Kings front office are absolutely doing their homework on all of these guys. I'm sure their phone is ringing off the hook as well. So fans can rest assured that no matter what happens, Vlade and the Kings have put in a lot of work behind the scenes. Sean, you have seen that firsthand. We have all lived it over these past couple weeks. It's a really, really awesome and scary position at the same time. I can't wait for draft day. coming up. That is ABC's Sean Cunningham again. Check out his work behind the scenes. Look at today's pre-draft workout with Marvin Bagley. Also, you can check out the other behind the scenes stuff that he's had with the other pre-draft workouts that they've done with a lot of second round talent or ideas of guys that could come in and be part of the G League team or the team maybe at a later date going forward. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time. Also, he's a great follow on Twitter as well. Check him out there. And you can be able to, by following him, get all sorts of good information, not just from this offseason, from the draft, but from all of next season and seasons to come, hopefully, as well. So, Sean, thank you again so much for taking the time. We will see you absolutely at the draft party at the Golden One Center just 10 days from now.
Anytime, Matt. Look forward to seeing you. That'd be fun.
Huge thank you to Sean Cunningham for joining me and taking the time after Marvin Bagley's interview yesterday. I'm telling you, man, like I said in that interview, I change with the wind. I was kind of over Bagley a little bit, but hearing him talk about it and hearing how impressive that he was at that workout, and of course, he is a Duke fan, so take that with a grain of salt, but Bagley would certainly not be a bad pick for the Sacramento Kings at number two. And the more mock drafts you see, the more people are expecting the Kings to take him at two. As Sean Cunningham said, it may be the safe pick for the Kings. So you never know. We'll see which direction they decide to go in. Check out Sean's work at ABC 10 from now to throughout the regular season. He always has great stuff there, and follow him on Twitter at Sean Cunningham. You can find him as well. That is going to do it for me today. I can promise you more great interviews coming all this week and great coverage leading into next week. Charles and I will continue our coverage and our build up to the draft itself. And then next Thursday night on Sports 1140 KHDK, you can check out from 7 to 10 after the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Charles and I are going to be hopping on the KHDK airwaves for all of your reactions to everything that happens on draft night, but especially with your Sacramento Kings. So I encourage you to do that. If you don't listen to KHDK, tune in there. That's AM 1140 on your radio dials if you're in Sacramento, or you can download the KHDK app on the Android or Apple Store, or you can find us on KHDK.com to listen to that there as well. We'd love to have you join us for that. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening today. We will talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.